And our next guest is someone you have heard before on Seattle's Morning News, Kristen Gottsie. She's a professor at the University of Pennsylvania, author of the forthcoming book, which is why you might remember her being on our show. The title is Why Women Have Better Sex Under Socialism and Other Arguments for Economic Independence. And she finds that today, when we hear of a candidate like Democratic Socialist Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez out of New York, few of us actually understand her politics.
I think what people like Ocasio-Cortez are talking about when they're talking about democratic socialism as part of her identity, of course, it's not her entire identity, but I think it's an important part of her identity, is, you know, these large federal platforms, Medicare for all, things like, you know, guaranteed federal support for free college or trade school education. You know, she's also talking about making sure that there aren't homeless people, that people have, Americans have access to houses and food. And she's talking about these things at a federal level. She's hoping to create a caucus within Congress of very progressive Democrats and Democratic Socialists who are going to be pushing for these things, not just at the local level, not just at the state level, but also at the federal level. And I think that that's what has really shaken up the establishment, that her victory in New York has sort of, you know, really shocked the Democratic Party establishment, but also I think just shocked, you know, most Americans who didn't really see this coming.
And just observing from the outside, looking at the type of voters and the ideals of somebody like a Democratic Socialist such as Ocasio-Cortez, and then hearing the baby boomer generation react to her win, react to her rise, and react to, you know, the ask from the younger generation who are voting for these candidates, I'm seeing those difference in American ideals start to butt heads, which is she wants universal health care. She wants universal free college. And the baby boomer generation's going, no, it doesn't work that way. In America, you don't get stuff handed to you. So how do you work that out in the political sphere?
So let's just talk about demographics for a moment. According to the Pew Research Center, the millennials will outnumber the baby boomers as of 2019. There'll be 73 million millennials and 72 million baby boomers. And so part of this is a little bit of a numbers game. And one of the things I remember watching on Wednesday, the day after her victory, Mitch McConnell, who is 76, I believe, and Nancy Pelosi, who's 78, reacting from establishment Democrat and an establishment Republican. And the visual was of this young, vibrant Latina woman and these two pretty elderly politicians. It was almost as if you could see the generational, battle lines being drawn just from the visuals. There are these young candidates who are coming up. And I think you're absolutely right. You know, among baby boomers, they associate the word socialism and the policies of socialism with the Cold War. There's a lot of baggage about the history of 20th century state socialism in Eastern Europe. That's a lot of what my own work is about. And I think that for younger voters, they don't associate socialism with Russia or the Soviet Union or Poland or the East German Stasi. They associate democratic socialism with Norway or Sweden or Denmark or Finland or Iceland. They see it as a viable, possible future for this country. And I think that, yes, the baby boomers had a lot going on for them after the Second World War. America was ascendant. The economy was booming. We were a big superpower. You know, the millennials are saddled in debt for colleges. They have very bleak prospects of home ownership. Again, the rise of the gig economy. You know, baby boomers could count on a career that lasted sometimes 30 years. Millennials are never going to have a career that lasts more than a couple years. They're going to bounce from job to job. They're going to be precarious. So they're building, they're trying to create a vision of an America for a future, for the world that we live in now. And I think, unfortunately, for the sake of the baby boomers, their ideas of how the politics of this country should work are still based in a vision of an America of the past that's just not an America that exists anymore for people under the age of 30. Mm.
Do women or men lean towards socialist candidates?
The data that we have is that, and there have been some opinion polls of millennials, that we see that young millennial women are definitely more inclined toward democratic socialist candidates than young millennial men. Now, and there are all sorts of possible reasons for why that might be. But I do think that women, young women, understand perhaps more that in a Democratic polity where you can actually mobilize your base and you can get into elected office and you can make a difference. It's not easy. It takes a lot of work. But I think a lot of young women are coming to the realization that one of the factors influencing their current precarity and their current economic situation is that not enough young people have gone into politics, and especially young women. And because of the current political climate and, you know, potential attacks on women's rights and women's bodily integrity, I think more women are feeling motivated to get into government and actually make the government work for them. The same way that wealthy people in this country, I would argue for the last 30 years, some would argue for a lot longer than that, have really made the government work in their interest. Suddenly, I think young millennial women are waking up to the fact that they can also make the government work in their interest by sheer numbers, by showing up, you know, pounding the pavement, so to speak, like Ocasio-Cortez did, and making a difference.
And she's also engaging, too. I see her on social media, not just participating in back-and-forth attacks like we're seeing now in today's politics, but she's replying with meaningful, substantive information in her replies to anybody, any sitting congressman or woman who decides to question or attack her.
No, and that's what's so amazing about her as, I think, as a young woman. I mean, I read a kind of a Republican analysis of her where they said, you know, this young woman is not from what they called the loony left. You know, she's not loony left. She's very articulate. She's very clear about her ideas. And, you know, again, the big thing is one of the biggest attacks of socialists on socialists is how are you going to pay for free health care for all? How are you going to pay for free college tuition? How are you going to pay for, you know, shelter for Americans' homeless population? And one of the things I think that has happened since the 2017 Republican Tax Act is that, look, the CBO estimates now that the Tax Act will add $1.7 trillion to the U.S. deficit over the next 10 years. So people like Ocasio-Cortez are saying, if we're going to add $1.7 trillion to the deficit, and that's going to benefit the, you know, 83% of those tax cuts go to the top 1%, why don't we take that money and spread it around and let it help ordinary working Americans, people who are struggling, young people who want to get an education, people who have pre-existing conditions, people who are dealing with the healthcare system. I mean, she is able to articulate a vision clearly, simply, in ordinary language that anybody can understand, and she's young and passionate, and I think that really plays well.
Kristen Godsey, author of the forthcoming book, Why Women Have Better Sex Under Socialism and Other Arguments for Economic Independence. That book comes out in November.